Greetings to you this morning in the name of our Lord, and a special welcome to everyone that's here. We're grateful for the visitors that are visiting with us and pray that your time here can be a blessing as well. We come together at the end of a week, and all of us did something this past week. Some of us did some things we never did before, and others of us did a lot of just the mundane. But it is always a blessing to be able to gather together and to worship our Father who is the Father of, the universal Father, I should say. And for those of his children, he is a special Father. I'd like to just dwell a few moments thinking about fatherhood this morning. And as I did that in thinking of a scripture, the scripture that came to my mind is one that was especially meaningful to me as I grew up. It still is, but perhaps for in a little different way. And the scripture that it was from Psalm 103. In times when I felt, how would I say? And I still feel this way sometimes, but it's not so much of a common experience where you just, can I get it right? Can I get it? Do I do it right? And how does the Lord look at me? Well, here's what Psalm 103 says about how God looks at his children. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Now, the reason that that verse came to mean so much to me is because it told me of a heavenly Father that understood how earthy I am, and that he actually cared about that. And I appreciated the first song you led, Harry, and how you introduced it. You see, he is not just aloof. He is not just looking out to see where he can catch us up short, but he is a God that is cares intimately with us. And so when he says that as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. As a father now, I know better what that means than I did when I was 16 and 17 and this verse meant so much to me. Because now I understand better how a father pities his children. Because when you see them suffering, when you see them with disappointments, to think that our Heavenly Father has that same kind of, it takes that same kind of attitude is not quite the word I want, but that's how he feels about us. It, of course, boggles my mind to think of a God who can do that for every person and maintain his sanity, but that is our God. It's enough for me to have five children and pity them when they have their issues. But then as I looked at this passage, I realized how much this passage refers to the fatherhood of God and the characteristics of a father. So I'd like to read from Psalm 103, the first 13 verses. And as we read, keep in mind we're looking at how, at the qualities of a father. And I found it encouraging and a bit reproving too, because it points out the perfection of our Father in ways that we earthly fathers just don't get it quite right. Beginning at verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That's as far as I'll read. As I looked at these characteristics of our Heavenly Father, and I looked at I began with verse 3, who forgives all thine iniquities. Fathers, you know the challenge it is to sometimes just lay things down that you think ought to have been different than they were, and to extend the kind of forgiveness and gracious spirit to your children that they are deserving of. Remember, your Heavenly Father does that. He redeems lives from destruction. How do we do that as fathers? How do we help a child who has messed up and has disappointed us? How do we bring redemption into that experience? He crowns with loving kindness and tender mercies. You see, we just see a picture here of God who cares very, very deeply about us, about every one of us. And it catches me up really short when I look at how he has done and how he does for us. And when it comes to judgment, he knows how to be fair in his own way. It says in verse 6, he executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Justice, fairness. I know we say that life isn't fair, and God doesn't try to be fair, maybe, in that everything has to be equal for everybody, but for you he is fair. For you he is just. For me he is fair. For me he is just. In verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He won't always chide, nor does he keep his anger forever. We know the challenge of when somebody has failed to extend forgiveness. And then we also know the challenge of not carrying a grudge. Grudge isn't quite the word I want there, but carrying sort of a bit of a spiteful attitude towards someone. Our Heavenly Father does that perfectly. And how grateful I am that he does that. And then it speaks again in verse 10, he sort of continues the thought that he has not dealt with us according after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He lays those things down. And then verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Again, I'm trying to get the picture for myself of how I ought to live as a father. Not only as a father, but as a brother in the church, as a church leader. How do we extend this? Now, certainly, when it speaks of God's righteousness and his justice, he's not speaking about a God who doesn't care about what happens, a God who doesn't care about the things that go wrong, but when we turn, this is where he lays down those things and removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And then he caps it with, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Because he knows our frame, he says that he remembers that we are dust. And to me, that has been that has helped me so often to just remember that God knows the stuff I'm made of, and it's not all that good. Well, today is a day when fathers receive the honor and respect and blessing from their offspring, or at least it's been set aside for that, and we enjoy that. But it is also a time that fathers, if they're responsible, will reflect on how well they have done. It's not a day to browbeat ourselves, but it is a day that we can think about the ways that we have done well, the ways that we could have done better. And as a father now in my mid-60s, I can look back over a good bit of life now, and I can see things that I have done, could have done better in. One of the ways I deal with my failures is I look at what could have been, and maybe what should have been, but wasn't. And yet I realize that as a rule, I did the best that I knew at the time that I did it. And unless I would have different information today, I'd probably do it the same again. That doesn't sound very, that may not sound like I've learned much, if I say it that way. However, it is one way that I cope with mistakes that I make, is that as long as I do the best I can, then I simply accept the result. And something else to remember is that we are not working we're not raising children. Being a father is not a science. We are working with other people who have a free will, people who can make choices. And so I think it is important that we understand that, and that we allow our children to be human as well. Well, thankfully, as the scripture here refers to a God that redeems, our God is a God of redemption. And probably my sense is that one of his greatest delights is to take something that looks like a mess to us and make something beautiful out of it. And he doesn't do that sometimes, or often he doesn't do that very quickly. Sometimes it takes some time. And so I take courage in the fact that God loves to redeem, God loves to take his time. Sometimes he does it instantly, but oftentimes he takes his, he redeems over time. And so my heart this morning is just grateful to be a part of a group of people that value fatherhood, that value motherhood, that value childhood. We had the privilege of visiting Carla about a month ago in Mexico, where she serves with the Russian Mennonites, the Kleine Gemeinde. And we were greatly encouraged to see the work that Carla is doing with them. And one of the outstanding things that I think we saw was, and I couldn't quite verify this with Carla, and yet I'm going to propose that early on, before they taught English year round in their school, Floyd and Dorcas would go down for summer school. And the time came when the folks asked, "Can you come and teach during the school year?" So they did. And then when Dorcas and Floyd quit doing that, Carla and Mary Beth took their place. Now, what I wanted to say was that I was just encouraged to see the difference between what I thought I could see in the students who were taught in summer school and those who were taught year round. They have the benefit of some native English speakers, that has really opened the door. And so some of these younger ones, you cannot tell that they are not from Kansas with the way they speak. They are very well, they speak very well. And that speaks for well for Carla and for Mary Beth and the effort that they are putting into the work there. One of the things that I was impressed with, and this is sort of my report on a trip to Mexico, was their value, the way they value family, the way they value fathers, mothers, and children. One of the ways they do that is that every year they set aside one day. This year it was a day that was set aside for the children. I think maybe it was Children's Day. At least they made it that. Now, this was not just some kind of a fellowship meal that everybody gorged themselves with food and then said it was a celebration. They decked it out. They had an auditorium big enough to seat 400 people at tables. And they had a program. They had gifts they gave to the children. Now, they do that, then next year it'll probably be fathers or mothers or something. But you see, the value that we place on people, the value we place on family, I think is indicative of our understanding of what God gives in the way of human life and how God intends us to respect and regard each other. Well, how does this all tie together? Probably not very neatly, except this, that every one of us has the opportunity to be like God. The ways that we read about this morning in Psalm 103, all those ways are ways that we as fathers can be. It's all the ways that you mothers can be, and you children. We can emulate our Father who is in heaven. So today, as we honor and worship him, let's also do our part to emulate him. Let's kneel and pray. Lord, we are grateful this morning again that you have called us to be your children. And that indicates that you are our Father. And so we bend our hearts before you this morning in humility and in gratitude, remembering that we are not of ourselves, but we are of you. And we pray, Lord, that this day, as we recognize the role of fatherhood in our families and perhaps even here in church, that you would help us to remember who you are and then try our best, do our best, allow you to help us live out our lives imitating and emulating you. Bless this day for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.